Thank you. All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Rashard, and I am a proud alcoholic. There we go. Let's bring in the spirit of recovery. I have a passion for recovery. I have a passion for growing. I have a passion for connecting to the true magnitude of what I can be. Rashard is done with putting limitations on himself. Rashard came to Alcoholics Anonymous to connect with the full magnitude of what I can be. And I'm extremely honored to be up here to share my story with you guys tonight. My story. And it's interesting. Today, first off, I want to thank Denise, the secretary that asked me to share at this meeting. She asked me to share at this meeting in April of last year. And when she asked me in April, she said, could you share for me in June? I said, sure, no problem. And then she was like, oh, no, June of next year. I was like, a whole year? I have respect for her because she had faith that Rashard would stay sober all the way up to this day. And another interesting thing, too, I'd say it's one of the most life-changing parts of my story. Today is the anniversary of my father's death. Back in 2018, in Walnut Creek, our home burnt down to the ground, and it was all over the news. And I was there while it happened at 1 o'clock at night. And when it happened, I was in my room, and I went downstairs, and I found my mom on the floor, and I took her out into the backyard. The downstairs was full of flames. I brought her out into the backyard, and I went to the... I put her out in the backyard, and I went across the street to alert my neighbors at 1 o'clock in the morning to call the fire department. And then my father, who was still in the house, I went back to my house and I tried to go in through the front door, but I couldn't. So I jumped on my car and I jumped onto the roof and I smashed his window in. And by that time, there was a lot of smoke coming from his room. And I reached in and I tried to grab my father off his bed, but he wasn't there. I knew in that moment that my father had left this reality. And I went back to go get my mom, and she wasn't where I left her. She was floating in the pool. And I felt like I thought I lost both my parents that night. I drug her out of the pool to the front of the house, and it wasn't until I brought her to the front of the house I realized she was still breathing. Thank God. Mr. Paparazzi showed up. He didn't want to help. I told him he had to go. He just wanted to take pictures. And then within 5 minutes, the Walnut Creek Police Department was there. The fire trucks were there. Everything was there. And when I was sitting in that seat there, I was saying to myself, my father is here with me tonight in spirit. You know how we get nervous before we chair a meeting, right? And we go through mental gymnastics, trying to figure out how to say things so people don't think we're crazy, right? I was starting to do that a little bit a few weeks ago until I realized that the day that I was speaking landed on the day of the anniversary at the fire at my home, and the anxiety left because I knew everything was going to be okay. Because at the end of the day, you guys, coming up here and sharing is not about me. There's a lot of gurus out there that make it about them. They charge money to hear you want to come down there and hear them speak. They like being in front of the microphone. Here in Alcoholics Anonymous, when we come up here and speak, it's not about us. It's about the newcomer. Yeah. This is a very selfless program. And I said to myself before I came up here, Rashard, it's not about you. It's about sharing your experience, your strength, and your hope with the group. And hoping in that you can share something that will help somebody new out. And I'm all about helping people out, you guys. I turned 40 years old Sunday. And you want to know something? Rashard didn't have he did not have a midlife crisis. Rashard was saying to himself, his best years are ahead of him, right? And that's the attitude I've learned from being in Alcoholics Anonymous. My 20s was terrible, you guys. I was in and out of jail because of drugs and alcohol. And I never went to jail unless I was trying to get high or drunk. Being 40 years old, I didn't want to live to be 40 years old growing up. I grew up in Walnut Creek. I didn't look like everybody else growing up in Walnut Creek. Didn't sound like everybody else growing up in Walnut Creek. And when I went to school, I felt like an alien from another planet. Not only was I looking different from everybody else, but my grades were terrible, and they had to put me in the special ed class, which meant when you had the fire drill, every class had to line up in the playground in a row, and the teachers would make sure all the students were accounted for. And I would a lot of the times stand in that line in shame, because I felt like there was something wrong with me. And it didn't get better when I got home, you guys. I'll say this. I come from a very loving family. My mother and my father are very loving people, and they did the best that they could to want the best for us. They could have raised us in Antioch. They could have raised us in Pittsburgh. They could have raised us in Oakland. But they chose to raise us in Walnut Creek, and they explained to us why. My father's father, when he was a kid, my dad's from Africa. My father's father was murdered when he was a kid. And all the family members stole all the money when he was growing up as a kid. As usual, sometimes with a lot of families, that's what happens, unfortunately. And my father made a conscious decision to not really be involved with the family no more, his side of the family, and he moved out to San Francisco in the 19... Well, he moved to Paris first, and then he came out to San Francisco around the 70s. And he was a hydraulic engineer. He worked for Bethel for like about 10 years, and he met my mom, and they lived in Oakland. They lived in San Francisco. They made a decision to move to Walnut Creek because they were having twins, me and my brother. Me being an alcoholic really saved my life, you guys. I thought I was different. I thought again, alien from another planet, not looking like everybody growing up, wearing a mask everywhere I went, not speaking my truth, lying about everything. And I when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, again, I didn't look like everybody here in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I felt just the same as everybody else. And I had the same story as everybody else, you know? And I was hearing about people who grew up in Alamo and Danville, who grew up around people that looked just like them, but they had the same feelings of insecurity, of doubt, of all these things that go on in our minds. And I said to myself, Rashard, there's nothing wrong with you. Hallelujah. The problem the whole time was your thinking, which we talk about here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a strong, bad perception problem. And I used to drink a lot, you guys. And I used to use a lot. And I thought I was the only one. It was interesting. When it was educated to me about the doctor's opinion, and it was explaining about the allergy and the phenomenon of craving, I thought I was the only one that had the phenomenon of craving. I thought I was the only one that jonesed before I went to the liquor store. I thought I was the only one that obsessed about alcohol before I was going to drink it. I thought I was the only one that felt good. Well, we all felt good, but I thought I was the only one that really got out of his head when he put alcohol in his system. And through a lack of information, you guys, again, alien from another planet. And when I came down here with you guys, and I heard you guys take your masks off and share your truth, allowed Rashard to share his truth. And my first 3 years of being here was really hard, you guys. I guess you could say I've always kind of been like a maverick my whole life. I've always been a free thinker. And I really had a hard time digesting the information that was being taught here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a twin brother, and I love him. But I always tried to be opposite of him. Dress opposite, think opposite, act opposite, you know, and we had different paths. I'm very proud of him. He's a reporter for Crown 4 News. My older brother is a pilot for Delta Airlines. And I explained that to you guys. I work at Big O Tires as an advisor. And I love my job, but I had the same opportunities that they had. Different paths, different choices, same opportunities. In my whole life, I've always allowed my mind to get in the way of my life. And Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me to let my heart be the guide through working the program and working the steps, which, again, I had a really hard time doing. I believe there was a very dogmatic. I believe that people were just, people in our society, I call them repeaters, right? They just repeat things that they hear from other people. They don't look into it, not examine. They just repeat things that they hear from other people. And it gets repeated so much and so much and so much, it all of a sudden becomes like conventional wisdom or something like that. And I felt like that's what was going on when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was like, these guys aren't really... Yes, they're speaking their truth, but I was like, maybe some of them are, you know, following the herd and just saying what everybody else is saying, right? And at first, it was very, very challenging for me to work the steps because I still had that maverick inside me, right? Where I still wanted to do the opposite of what everybody else was doing to a certain degree. But that wasn't working in my mind, you guys. It really was not working in my mind. And But I gave it a shot. I let the heart guide me and not the head again. And I've worked the steps 2 times since I've been here, and I've been sober for 11 years. And I'll be celebrating 12 in September. And I'll say that Alcoholics Anonymous has really given me my spirit back, you guys. And I have to really communicate the level of mind frame that I was in before I came down to Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, I wanted to blow my head off, and I did not want to make it to 40 years old. I didn't. I just was not fitting in with people. I was living in a fear of what everybody else thought about me. I would go to bars and I would drink, but I was still not, I wouldn't have the confidence and the courage that everybody else was communicating about. A lot of my drinking was spent at home watching TV and wishing my life was what I saw on TV. And being here has all changed that. I remember when I was going through my home maybe about 3 weeks after the fire, me and my brother were looking at all the belongings in there, and I said, you know what, Alex? None of this stuff here matters. All these material possessions, they don't matter. I saved the pictures, but that fire allowed me to understand what really matters in my life. And I'm really thankful that that night, before my father went to bed, he told me that he loved me, and I told him that I loved him too. Nothing was ever left unspoken, and unfortunately, we live in a society where we find it so hard to tell people that I love you, you know? And I'm fortunate that I didn't leave that unspoken with my father. I told him that I loved him, too. And Alcoholics Anonymous, boy. Alcoholics Anonymous raised $18,000 for me and my family in a matter of 2 days. And people were offering me to stay at their home and a lot of stuff. And sometimes in my head when I was at meetings and I was sharing and leaving meetings and questioning what I shared at meetings and, you know, leaving in meetings in embarrassment, you know, and, you know, and next week going back to, did they remember what I said last week at the meeting? And all that nonsense that goes on in the head. Oh, they don't care about you, Richard, and all that kind of nonsense that goes on in the head. Through that event, what was always true was confirmed, which was people in Alcoholics Anonymous care about Richard. You know, and it was a very heartwarming thing in my area. People stepping up and wanting to help and all that kind of stuff. And I tell people, it's not unique to me. It's something that it's afforded to all of us. And I was communicating this to some people that are not in the program. I say we're a community here in Alcoholics Anonymous that support one another. And what happened to me was a horrific thing, but I have love. I have support. I wasn't in it alone. I had a lot of support through that, all that. And it's not the support isn't anything unique to me. It's something that is available to all of us here in the room. I've seen other people go through their stuff and people will help them out. You know, and I learned in this program that we never drink on the truth. It's always on the lie. Always on the lie. And I don't ask people why they go out nowadays. They just made a decision. That's it. I've made that horrible decision before in 2009. And I was in my room for a whole week. I don't want to come back to Alcoholics Anonymous because I had lost my time and I lost my pride. But I don't want to go back to drinking at the bars and all that kind of stuff. So I was in my room for weeks alone. And it felt bad. And this program, it's taught me, it's shown me to grow up. It really has, you guys. One thing that is really important to really communicate, that's a part of my story, is my spiritual perception. I'm very happy for my father. The way I view it from my research of looking into this for 15 years is we are all consciousness, spirit, having a very, very, very brief experience called human. Very brief. Rashard is not who I am. Being an African American is not who I am. It's just an experience. That's all it is. I leave the body and I forever explore. All of us do. I believe that we are all unique expressions of God. Like God's the ocean. And what makes up the ocean is droplets and droplets and droplets and droplets of water. We are the ocean. We are the droplets. We are unique expressions of God. And so I was very happy for my father in the sense that he got to leave this reality and forever explore, you know. And love you, Dad. Just had to say that once. Love you, Dad. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous too. My family today, they're very proud of me. I've made some bad decisions before, you guys. Before I came down here, in my alcoholism, I made some bad choices and I had the police at my house, had it raided 2 times. I spent most of my 20s incarcerated in jail. And back in 2013, I told my probation officer, if you put out a warrant for me, let me know and I will turn myself in. That way you don't raid my parents' home. And he did that after I came up with a failed drug test. He put out a warrant for me. And I didn't want to turn myself in, but I did. And I had my father drive me down to the sheriff's department in Martinez. And the sheriffs were like, you know what? We respect you. Not a lot of people turn themselves in when the warrant's pulled out on them. They don't turn themselves in at all when the warrant's out. And so, you know, I spent my time in jail, and I got out, and I went down to the Pleasant Hill Fellowship the day I got out of jail, and I've been sober ever since. And this is a really important part of my story, too, is I used to be depressed in recovery a lot. I used to compare myself to other people a lot in meetings, right? I used to get jealous because this person was dating this person, or I get jealous because this person had this kind of income bracket, or this person was driving this kind of automobile, and my sponsor told me, don't compare yourself to people around here. It's a no-win situation. Don't do that, Rashard. You keep being you. And through my own mental health problems, which I do have, I've been able to find some gratitude in my life. And I do not get depressed at all. None. The reason why is before I was so focused on what I didn't have and I became depressed because I didn't have it, I forgot about the things that I do have. And it's the things that I do have are the real meaningful things of life. Now, I'm not rich and I'm not poor. I got a car to drive. I got a home to sleep in. My mom lives with me. I take care of her. I got a good job. I'm a productive member of society. People love and care about me, which is far more meaningful than money, in my opinion. A lot of people's happiness is dependent upon money and things, which is fine. You can have the latest pair of Jordans, but for me, it's more the spiritual aspect. Am I being happy? You know, am I taking chances in my recovery? Am I willing to take risks and grow? And yes, I am. I'm definitely willing to take risks and fail. Failure is not trying. That's all it is. It is not trying. And I've learned I got to try. I got to try. And for my father's, so my father grew up watching old Westerns, right? And those movies are real good. Real good, right? As a tribute to my father today, I was watching a Western with James Stewart called Shenandoah, right? Yeah, you know, Shenandoah, right? Good movie, right? So he's trying to find his kid, right? It was taken by the Confederacy, right? And he's with his family, and he's telling his family halfway in between it, like he's like, you know what? I had a feeling that we probably wouldn't be able to find the boy, even if we tried. But if we don't try, we don't do. And if we don't do, why are we here on this earth? And those words really resonated with me. Rashard has always been a quitter before he came to Alcoholics Anonymous. Always quitting. Never trying. My insecurity, my head getting in the way. Always. And my spirit would just tell me, Rashard, try to give things a shot now. You know, I turned 40 years old on Sunday. And I know in my mind, someday, I will have a home. And I will have a family. And I will have a good income. How is it going to happen? I don't know. But I know it will happen if I try. If I try. And not allow other people to get in the way of my success, which has always been my story. I got a goal over there. And my intent is to reach my goal. And I go towards my goal, and people will tell me to stop, stop, stop. And I never get to my goal because I allow other people to stop me. And it's not like they're being malicious. It's the choice that I make through fear, which has always been a great bad prison for me. And the more debilitating one for me has always been the fear of what other people think about me, which is a main reason why Rashard was an alcoholic, is because he was always so afraid of what everybody else thought about him. And when I came into recovery through hearing you guys, I learned that that is a great prison in which a lot of people in our society live in, is a fear of what other people think about them. When I see somebody at the DMV, I'm not seeing them for who they really are. I'm seeing a reflection of what they think they should be. And being in this program has taught me how to take my mask off and share my truth no matter what my mind tells me. And because of that, I have serenity in my life. The obsession to want to drink is gone, you guys. That was gone after 90 days of the information of the program and working the program. That's not everybody's story, but it's my story. I had to work real hard at the steps. And at the end, I experienced something that I did not plan on experiencing, was a new level of gratitude that I had never felt before. Me and my sponsor were sitting in his car, and afterward, we had worked the 12 steps. We shook each other's hands. We shook each other's hands like men. And I was really proud of myself, you guys. For somebody who would be in meetings and hooting and hollering and that's not true and yada, 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 and all that nonsense, you know, I was able to sit back and say, you know what, Rashard? You followed the process all the way through. For the first time in your life, you took some directives from somebody and look at how things are. You're feeling a lot better about yourself and things are coming into place. You know, and I have a few minutes here, technically like 8 minutes, but I'm not going to go 8 minutes because any more than 5 minutes, you guys can hear bullshit come out of my mouth. And there's nothing worse than the speaker babbling bullshit, repeating themselves where they should have wrapped it up a long time ago and going over 10 minutes and you're like, whoa, wasn't the meeting supposed to end 10 minutes ago and all that. So I'm not going to torture you guys like that tonight, okay? I go to a lot of meetings, and some meetings, I don't know what's going on in the meeting. I feel like I got to go to another meeting to shake off what I was hearing in that meeting. That's just my story, guys. That's There's a lot of good meetings out there, but I've been to some bad meetings where I don't know what's going on in this meeting. I got to go to another one to shake off what I'm hearing in this meeting. But, you know, what I can say, Alcoholics Anonymous has really made a strong impact on my spirit and on my consciousness. And it allows me to be me today, which is really important. To be me. Not a reflection of what I think I should be, but me, free of alcohol. I don't need alcohol to talk to a woman. I don't need alcohol to have fun. I don't need alcohol to have myself. I don't need alcohol to be myself. I don't need it, period. And I learned that through working this program and getting out of my head. The head right here is the village idiot. I've learned to laugh at my head. It is the things it comes up with sometimes is ridiculous. And I just laugh at it. And I, you know, it's absurd what goes on up here. But I've learned that right there is never going to take me to where I want to go. You know, it's not. It's a very debilitating part of my my consciousness. This is a very lovely fellowship. Denise had me come out here last month to get a feeling of the group. And as soon as I pulled up to the parking lot, I felt the love, you guys. I really did. And you guys were very welcoming. As soon as I walked to the door, people were greeting me and hugging me. Gentlemen gave me a hug tonight, and I'm a hugger too, you know. My friends in my area across the bridge, they say very positive things about the Benicia Fellowship out here. They say you guys are very welcoming. You guys are very pleasant to be around. You guys got good recovery, and I believe that. I believe that. I sensed that when I was up here last month. I felt the love, you guys, and I felt the love tonight. And I really want to thank you guys for allowing me to come out here to share my experience, my strength, and my hope with this group out here. And I hope that everybody has a wonderful evening. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Yes, I am a hugger, yeah. Thank you. Give me a hug.
Love you, man.
Love you too, bro.
Good stuff.
Thank you. Love you too, bro.
Thank you.
Okay, one last time. One more.
Yeah.